The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, just as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We began on Ash Wednesday pondering the whole purpose and meaning of Lent, that it is for us to become more and more like the Father. The whole Lenten pilgrimage is the pilgrimage of the parable son back to the loving embrace of the Father. Those parts of us that have treated the Father as if He is dead, rather than being childlike, saying, "I've got it on my own, see you, Dad, just give me my inheritance so I can go squander it." Or like that older son in the parable of the prodigal son, who even while he remains in the Father's house, doesn't remain really a son of the Father, but just a slave. "Never once did I disobey your commands, but you've never ever been kind to me, even give me a little kid to party with my friends." Lent is that pilgrimage to the Father's love, and we saw on Ash Wednesday how we're supposed to fast differently than the rest. Supposed to fast in communion with our Father so that we might hunger for what our Father hungers for. And over the course of this first week, God's been pretty clear of how He hungers for us to care for all those who are needy. We're supposed to give alms differently than everybody else, recognizing that what the Lord wants of us is for us to recognize how much we've received from the Father and then become His hands, expressing His providence to all those who are in need. Jesus on Ash Wednesday as well told us that we're supposed to pray differently from everybody else. And today, from that very word, it was excised from the gospel we had on Ash Wednesday, this part of today's gospel, which amplifies what Jesus is saying about prayer. We're not supposed to babble on like the pagans who think they'll be heard because of their many words. The pagans had all the pagan gods who are constantly fighting against each other and treating human beings as pawns. And so if you were going to get your way, you were going to have to lobby the small g gods. You are going to have to get to bombard them with your words in such a way that finally they'll agree with you against everybody else who's trying to get the opposing gods to go against you. Jesus says, no, you're not supposed to be babbling on. You're not supposed to be just multiplying words. You're not supposed to be lobbying God. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. So He knows what we need. So we're not fundamentally praying for what is already obvious to Him. Then Jesus teaches us how to pray. And He teaches us that our prayer is totally patrocentric. It's all geared straight toward the Father. If our fasting is supposed to help us to hunger what God fasts for, if our almsgiving is supposed to give what the Father has placed into the depository of our hands in order to share, then our prayer is supposed to make us much more sons and daughters of the Father. So the whole prayer Jesus teaches us is about the Father. If we're going to pray as Christians, we need to pray as children of the Father. First word of this prayer is Father in Greek. Our, the adjective, comes after. That itself is a revolution. We're not praying to some distant deity. We're not going before some type of angry magistrate who we've got to plead with. We're going as a beloved child to a Father who loves us more than the most loving parent could ever love a son or daughter. Father of us in common, not just individually but together, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. If we really meant that prayer and prayed it with insistence, we would become a saint, because the way we hallow the Lord's name is by living holy in such a way that people seeing our good deeds will give glory to our Father in heaven. That's the way we hallow or glorify his name. Your kingdom come, not our kingdom, his. Do we really desire his kingdom to come in my life, for him to reign? Again, it's already a means by which he will be glorified when we're living in that kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we really want his will to be accomplished, even if it requires our getting the cross of cancer. Even if it requires our becoming martyrs, we want his will to be done. Even if it's going to be drawing good out of our evil, we want his will to be done. Again, this is the way we pray as loving sons and daughters, not spoiled brats, but loving sons and daughters who trust the Father and know that he's good. Then we get to our needs. And our needs are the most basic of all. Give us today what we need to survive. Just today. And as I've mentioned many times in daily Mass homilies, what we pray for when we ask for that daily bread, for the life of me, I can't figure out how epiousios could ever be translated as daily. It would be like translating the house, the word casa in any of the Romance languages for house, as ocean liner. It has nothing to do with the word. Epiousios means super substantial bread. We're praying not just for material food, we're praying for the Holy Eucharist that nourishes not just our material substance, but our super substance, nourishes our soul. We're praying for God to rain down from heaven like the manna every day, the Eucharist. What we need most in this world. Then all about forgiveness. If we're going to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father who lets his sun shine on the good and the bad and lets his rain fall on the good man's field and the bad man's field, then we're going to be forgiving as he always forgives us. Otherwise we're not his son or daughter unless we're behaving like him. Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And at the end of this passage, Jesus almost implies that this is the most important thing of all, because this is what he glosses. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your transgressions. We must forgive. Otherwise, we simply go to hell. Because if we're not forgiven by God, we can't get to heaven. The only way we will be forgiven by God is if we forgive others. And not just for the people who cut us off out of a parking lot that we can forget about by the end of the day. People who have really hurt us. Lead us not to fall into temptation. It's really the type of thing where God will test us, but we're praying that we don't fall when we're tested. The other languages say that much better. Spanish is one, Portuguese is one, where you retain this sense. No, no, dejéis caer en la tentación. Let us not fall when we're tempted, but deliver us from the evil one. That's our big prayer. Strengthen us, because we're going to be tested. And protect us from the one who knows us too well and can trip us up. Protect us with your providential power. We're supposed to learn how to pray differently. And so the question for us this Lent is, do we really pray as Christians? But do we pray like everybody else, who just think that making some time for prayer and occupying it with some type of words is enough for God? The Holy Spirit's been sent by the Father and the Son precisely to help us to pray correctly. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit fills us with inexpressible groanings, real hunger to pray correctly, that leads us to cry out, Abba, leads us to cry out, Daddy. As I like to say whenever I preach retreats, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach us how to pray by putting words on our lips, but by changing who we are as we pray, so that we might not heap up words, but go simply as a beloved son or daughter saying, I need your help, Dad, can you help me? That's what Christian prayer is, and the Holy Spirit precisely wants to help us to pray in that way. First reading today, we see that that help is efficacious. Prophet Isaiah, for God tells us that just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down and don't return there until they have watered the earth, making it fruitful and fertile, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. Jesus Christ, who is that word, came down from heaven to water our soil and to make us fertile, to help us to become true sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit's been sent by both of them to get us to enter into that own prayer of Jesus. That's the way we're going to be bear fruit, because unless we're attached to Him as branches to the vine, we will bear no fruit. But when we're attached to Him, when we insert ourselves in His prayer, when we insert ourselves in His fasting, when we insert ourselves in His giving of Himself to the last drop of His blood, that's when we're going to bear a great harvest. And we know that that word has come down from heaven, and He's returned now to heaven. And the way for us to return with Him is in this way. We can't get to the Father's house, Jesus tells us, except through Him. And that's the way we pray. I'd always encourage you to ponder how we finish our prayers as Christians. Whatever we ask the Father, we say, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. We make all our prayers through this word that has come down from the Father to make us fruitful and bring us back to the Father. In the union of the Holy Spirit, we do it with Him who helps us to cry out, Abba, Father, together with Jesus, the Father's beloved Son. The whole point of Lent is to learn how to receive the Father's love given to us in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and to love Him with that dew coming down from heaven. Today we come here not to babble, but to pray as beloved sons and daughters. May the prayer of this Mass totally influence the way we do our own prayers throughout this Lenten season, so together all of these prayers might rise up with the sun, and one day we too may rise on up, so that we might continue that prayer of praise and worship forever in the Father's eternal embrace.